Welcome back to the Alley from Corporate podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Erica Rivera. She is one of my absolute favorite career coaches because of her international background and how she helps people all over the world. Erica, welcome.
Hello, Alley. Thank you for having me. I have told you this before, and I'm going to say it live on your podcast. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so I appreciate you having me here.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I love your stuff too. I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and I just love your down-to-earth, real content that actually helps people and gives people tips on how to thrive in their careers. So I know that you have such cool things under your belt. Please tell us like who you help, how you've been able to help. And I know you were also named a top career coach to follow by USA Today this year. So tell us a little bit about who you help and how you help them.
Yeah. So I help people from all over the world. I have been able to help people across 60 different countries. My goal is to, we'll see, but I'm aiming for every country across the world. But I typically focus on people from non-traditional backgrounds. So those that have a harder time breaking into their next career move just because they're trying to make a significant transition. And that is what I do. And that is who I help.
Amazing. So you and I spoke recently about when somebody should leave a job and how people will know when it's time to leave a job. And I know you and I both feel very passionate about that because that can often be the difference between waking up and hating your commute because you're dreading going to your job or leaping out of bed because you're so excited to make a difference in the world at this job that you love. And so I have a couple Instagram followers who have written into me to ask us both questions about if they should stay or if they should go. Can I read you the first one? And can we talk a little bit about like what advice you would give this person, whether you would stay or go? It'll be fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the first question is, I've been at my current job for 5 years and was recently passed over for a promotion that I felt I deserved. Instead, they hired someone from outside the company with less experience than me. I tried to address this with my manager, but the response was dismissive, and I've been feeling undervalued ever since. I do love the work, but the lack of recognition and growth opportunities is demoralizing. Should I stick it out or move on? So tell me like what your gut feeling is with that. Like, talk me through this.
So there's a few different things that come to mind. The person's been there for a while. They've been there for 5 years. In 5 years, they haven't gotten promoted. So why have they not gotten promoted is my question, right? They should have gotten promoted. And quite frankly, I personally believe that this person, to what they were saying, they deserve that. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing, though, is that I think also sometimes when we get to this place in our career and we've been with a company for a while, sometimes we have to reevaluate and reassess where we're at. So my gut feeling would be telling this person that it's probably time to maybe consider to start looking for a new role.
I would agree with you with this one because they were passed up for a promotion. And I guarantee you it's not because the manager didn't know she was interested in a role. I hope not. I hope this person made it clear to their manager, I'm really interested in the promotion. I've been here for a while. These are the changes I've helped implement at the company. This is the money I helped the company make or save since I've been here. I'm super motivated. I love this team. Give me this chance. I hope they said that rather than hoping their manager was a mind reader. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But if they were assuming their manager knew but passed them over, maybe their manager didn't pass them over. They just saw, you know, put a open job out there and got somebody who applied and they were like, great. So my other question to this person would be, does your manager know the impact you're having at work? Because sometimes, especially when we're remote or hybrid, we work all day like little squirrels and our manager doesn't know how many nuts we've collected, if we're going with the squirrel metaphor. But it's kind of an art to be able to showcase your value without feeling like you're bragging. So that would be my question. Does your manager know everything you're doing? And would they miss you if you were gone? If they don't know what you're doing, maybe they wouldn't miss you if you were gone.
Yeah, those are great call outs. And I think the self-promotion piece is big, is that a lot of times we work really, really hard. And especially if we're high achievers, to your point, and we don't advocate in the sense of tracking what we're doing. So documenting our achievements, making sure our managers know what we want, like you said. And so we get frustrated when, you know, these promotions don't come to fruition, or we get passed up for, say, a project or something like that. But to your point, if we haven't vocalized that, then, you know, it's kind of, not to say it's on us, but, you know, essentially we have to be the ones to advocate for ourselves, and we have to make sure people see us. So those are good call outs.
Yeah. I also do want to mention that this person wrote that the person that was hired outside the company had less experience than them. And I want to say that experience doesn't always equate to potential. Experience is about your past. Potential is about the future. And past performance doesn't always necessarily indicate future performance. So a mistake I've made in my career is asking for a raise based on the number of years I'd been at the company, which is never a great reason why. Good reasons why would be, like I said before, you've helped the company reach goals. You've upskilled or gotten more educated. You've inflicted change within the company. You've had a huge impact. You've saved them money, made them money, gotten more clients, whatever it is. Keep track of that. Let your manager know. And then they'll be able to envision, oh, I would miss this person if they were gone. So you would vote they should leave?
I would. I would vote that they should leave. Provided if they have taken the steps to let their manager know that they're interested in progressing in their career within the company, then I would say yes. If it's a situation, to your point, where maybe there's an opportunity for them to go back to their manager, and while they have talked to their manager at this stage, now circle back and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do with my career. I want to get promoted. What are the steps that I need to take to get there? And what is the timeline? And have a real conversation, right, with that manager. That could be the other alternative. And if it seems like it's still getting brushed off, then I would still say, yeah, you need to go.
Yep, I agree. And let's touch on salary real quick. So let's assume this person's making $100,000 a year right now, and they wanted a promotion that would have been maybe like $120,000 a year. What salary, if, you know, if they're asked in a future interview, what salary, or what are your salary expectations? How should they answer that question?
They need to be asking for $120,000 a year. They need to be going above, right? They know their value and worth. First of all, they've gained the skills and the experience. We're not going to ask for the salary that we're currently making. We're going up. You know, that's the goal, is we're going up. And there's always room to negotiate. But if you are not asking, more times than not, the company's not going to give you what you deserve. So you have to ask for it. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way. I used to think that a company was, you know, they had my best interest in mind. They were going to help me figure out work-life balance and give me raises when I deserve them. That is, it couldn't be further from the truth. The company's main goal is to make money and keep their clients happy and their employees happy. But make money is the number one, probably the number two and the number three goal for every company out there. And so if you are not actively helping a company do that, they probably don't care if you stay or you go. And so if you can ask for 120 because you are going to help make a future company more than 120,000 a year, or help them save 120,000 a year, that's a great reason to be asking for that much money. So,
100%.
Question number one, you should definitely think about leaving. But get a job offer before you even let your manager know.
Yes. That part.
I made that mistake before. All right. So are you ready for question two?
Let's go for it.
All right. So question two reads, I work in a high pressure sales environment where the expectations and targets are unrealistic. My boss is constantly micromanaging and using fear tactics to push the team. Despite my efforts in hitting my targets, I'm always stressed and anxious. My mental health is severely declining, and I feel like I have no work-life balance. I've thought about leaving, but I'm really worried about finding a job in this economy. What do I do?
Yeah, that Like, you want to, I'll let you hop in first and then I'll give my two cents. Sure.
So, sounds really toxic. And I wonder if anybody has given this leader feedback, because not everybody who's a jerk knows they're being a jerk. And I see feedback as a gift. And if you are, you know, question two asker, if you are somebody who can give tactful feedback that is easily digestible for somebody like your manager might go, oh, wow, I did not even know I was micromanaging you. I didn't mean to be using fear tactics. Let's come up with a healthier company culture for our team so that it's a psychologically safe place to work. I don't know that that would happen with this leader. They sound terrible. But my question, my initial question is, has anybody given them feedback that they're terrible? What are your thoughts? Yeah,
I agree. Sometimes, to your point, people don't know how they're acting, but I guess on the flip side of that, you know, something that does come to mind is that sometimes people don't speak out because of fear of retaliation. You know, if I do give that feedback, right, then what's going to happen? So it's kind of, you're in a tricky spot. So I wonder, are there any opportunities maybe internally for that person to move to like a different team under a different leader, depending on the size, right, of the organization, or even a different role? Because I have seen that happen for people. But then on the flip side of that, I will always say, do not sacrifice your mental health and well-being for a job. And granted, like to what you said earlier, get a job, you know, have an offer lined up before making a move, because then, you know, that's another added layer of stress, unless you can afford to leave while you take time to look for a role. But a job is not worth your mental health and well-being.
I completely agree with you. I've been there. I've burnt out. I've had health issues related to stress. Had to go to the urgent care facility one time because I was having heart palpitations because I was so burned out. And I left that job shortly after, and it was the best decision I made. And I have a crazy idea for this person. If you have enough people on your team that feel this way, and I'm sure you've talked to your coworkers, and I'm sure you guys all talk crap about this manager in the break room, feel free to message me or Erica on, well, I don't want to offer this for you, but if you want to, you can message me on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to send an anonymous email to your manager if you give me their email address and give them the feedback. I want you to do it yourself if you haven't already, but I've thought about like starting this as a business before where disgruntled employees can like write in and be like, here's my manager's email. Can you give them this anonymous feedback? What do you think about that idea?
I think that's an amazing idea, because so many people find themselves in environments like this, and they, you know, they're afraid to use their voice, or they know that if they do, it's going to backfire on them. So yeah, I'm like, sign me up. You know, if you need someone else to send an anonymous email, I'm like, Allie, maybe you and I will start a business sending out, you know, anonymous messages, right, to employers and say, hey, we got to give you some feedback. So,
yes.
But I think that to your point, it's one of those situations where very much like the feedback is important. But, you know, knowing how that it's going to resonate, like sometimes you know that it's not going to translate well if you do share that feedback. So if that's right the case, then, you know, might mean you need to make a move. But Allie's idea is genius, though. So I do suggest you take up Allie's idea. I am like, I am all there for that one.
I love that. So let's also touch on the fact that they did not, like the last person said, I love my role, but you know, I can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. This second question, the writer did not mention that they love the company, the role, their coworkers, anything.
Yeah.
They said they're worried about finding a job in this economy. So what would be your advice to them with that?
Yeah, that's a good call out. I definitely, same thing I would say that you said earlier was, I would start looking, because it sounds like based on the message, to your point, that there was no mention of, you know, enjoying the company, the culture, things like that. So it sounds like this probably is not even the best environment for this person to be in. So I would say start looking. And I know that it's hard to look when you're already exhausted and burnt out and to go through and try and look for a job. But I would wholeheartedly recommend, you know, building out some sort of schedule where even if you're one day a week right now, sending out some applications to get, you know, like into a rhythm, starting to maybe connect with people that you know that might be able to point some opportunities your way. Just start putting yourself out there, because I don't think this, it doesn't sound like this is the best environment for that person.
I agree. And not to get into politics, but I do think that the job market will lighten up after the election is over. I feel like a lot of companies right now are doing layoffs and clutching their wallets tight to their chest because they don't know which direction things are going to go in with the economy. And so I would say to this person, since your mental health is deteriorating, that is never a good thing. I want to ask, what would it be like if you just didn't hit your targets and protected your mental health and made that a top priority? If the company were to let you go because of that, maybe you could get unemployment for a while you look for a new role and get your mental health back on track. That's dangerous, though, if you would be at risk of not paying your bills. So obviously talk to your family, your spouse. But I'm really hesitant to tell people to stay at a job when they say their mental health is deteriorating, because I have seen people, I've had coworkers die. I don't know if it was from stress or not, but it's a really strange email. I've seen people have heart attacks at work, and it's a really strange email for the team to get, hey, so-and-so had a heart attack yesterday. They're okay now. They're in the hospital. Or like, hey, this, you know, the person that was our front desk person passed away over the weekend. We'll be contributing $5,000 to their funeral. Like, and then you pack up your desk and then somebody replaces you. So nothing is worth sacrificing your health, but at the same time, it is a crazy job market out there. So think of what you can do financially and take care of yourself first and foremost.
Yeah, 100%. And the last, I think, point I'll make on that, just in line with like the unemployment rate, internally thinking about benefits, maybe if the person has benefits where they can explore taking a leave of absence. I don't know, you know, like that's just something to look into, but that is another option I think to pursue or consider if that is available.
And I don't know much about leave of absences, but should this employee tell their manager they need a leave of absence because they're so stressed about work and it's affecting their health? Or should they keep it vague?
I think they should keep it vague.
Probably.
That would be my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, maybe the manager would retaliate. That's just my two cents.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. So I think I would say health reasons. I went, you know, went to my doctor, you know, essentially I have to go on leave. I have some stuff that I have to take care of for my health and well-being. And then I'd be looking, quite honestly.
Yeah. Spend that time sitting at a pool, drinking margaritas, looking for work and taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, so it definitely does. All right. So are you ready for the third and final question?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Question three is, I've been working at a small startup for the past 2 years. When I joined, I was excited about the projects, they were innovative, and the close-knit team. However, in recent months, the company's direction has shifted and the work environment has become quite toxic. There's constant fighting and bickering and arguing, and the leadership lacks transparency and direction. I feel like I'm no longer aligned with the company's vision. I still believe in the startup's potential, but this negativity is seriously draining. What do I do? Okay, you first on this one.
Oh, it's hard in a startup environment. It's a small environment. You got a lot of cooks in the kitchen, so to speak. And typically in those types of environments, it's harder to implement change because you're trying to get to a stage where the company is making money, the company's growing, they're trying to scale. So they're probably, the reality of the changes that maybe this person is hoping to see are probably not going to happen soon. So maybe they'll get to a stage, you know, once they grow a little bit, kind of work through some of the kinks of what's going on with the part of the growth, the growing pains, I should say, of a startup business. But if it's toxic, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's their bandwidth, right?
That's a good question. Another question I have for them is, how long have they been there and have they purchased their stock options? And is there kind of like a light at the end of the tunnel for when the company might be sold or go public? Because then it might be worth it.
Yeah.
Another question I have is, when somebody tells me that a startup environment is toxic and there's constant fighting, my question is, are people fighting or are they having intense, difficult conversations? I know that I'm somebody that really shies away from conflict, and I'm definitely working on that right now. But I used to think that when people would raise their voice at work or get into a heated debate about something, that I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. A fight's going to break out. Somebody's going to get hurt. But I've learned to recognize what healthy conflict resolution looks like in the workplace. And oftentimes when it's a startup and there's investors who are asking when they're going to launch, there's high pressure. And there's like, you know, the race to be the first to market. If you've designed something novel, it can be really stressful because at a bigger company, you can go slower. You can take your time. The company's making revenue, which they can pay for their expenses and then some. But at a startup, like you were saying, you've got investors breathing down your neck. You've got a board of directors, maybe, and you're trying to race to revenue. And it might seem toxic, but maybe think of it from that perspective.
Yeah, those are really great call outs. And I wonder, is there an opportunity for this person to kind of remove themselves from some of that noise, to protect themselves, you know, to kind of put on the blinders, so to speak, so they can do what they have to do, right, to stay with the company, especially if they're seeing, like you said, that light at the end of the tunnel, or it's worth, you know, staying a little bit longer. Is there a way they can protect themselves from that? If there is, then it might be worth sticking it out. But if it's truly a situation where they feel they just cannot do it any longer, then, you know, it is going to be, you probably are not going to get the result you're looking for right now as far as the changes in the company. So what is your bandwidth to withhold and stay? And we all have our thresholds where, you know, we kind of break and we decide, okay, I can't do this anymore. So are you closer to the side of, I can't do this anymore? Or are you more on the side of like, if I can build those barriers, then I can, you know, stick it out for a bit longer?
Yep. Love that. And that takes real personal development to build those barriers. And when I read that they say the negativity is draining, I wonder if they can somehow be the positive change they want to see at their company. So if a coworker is gossiping to you, you can shut it down politely and say, you know what, I'm not interested in talking negatively about other coworkers. And also that can be infectious. And also people, I love when people spread positive rumors about people and compliment coworkers behind each other's backs, because it gets back to them. And so if you didn't want to leave because you said you loved the projects and the close-knit team, you could try to inspire positivity in the workplace by spreading little positive gossip around, like, hey, have you ever received a report from Rachel? They're so detailed. I don't know how she does it. Have you received one? They're amazing. It'll get back to that girl, Rachel. So if you really like the company and you don't want a job search and you believe in the startup's potential, like you say, see if you can inspire some change in the workforce, and just be like stupidly happy and stupidly positive. Like when somebody's like, oh, I'm so burnt out, I don't want to be here right now, be like, oh, I'm so blessed to have a job. Aren't you? Look at this economy right now. Like, I don't know. Might be a little stubborn, but you could try that.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. And I think just like a final note, that just something that popped into my mind is when I previously was working at a big tech company, one of the things that we did on my team was we instituted a like communication style feedback form where we shared that with one another, right, to learn about how we each communicate. Because to your point, sometimes things do get lost in translation, or what we feel and perceive as, you know, conflict, that negative conflict, maybe that just might be, you know, how one individual communicates. So I think maybe understanding the team around you and how they communicate to decipher whether or not, like, is this truly negative conflict that you're seeing, or is it just, this is how these individuals communicate with one another, and it's more of like they're just trying to find a common ground, common solution, but understanding their communication style will help you just be able to kind of like separate yourself when you do find yourself in those situations, right, when you're in those conversations and it feels uncomfortable. So just an idea there too.
I love that idea. And to piggyback off of that, asking for feedback can often inspire others to be asking for feedback as well. And if I really want to give somebody feedback, sometimes I'll ask them for feedback so that then they can be like, all right, here's my feedback for you. Do you have any feedback for me? Oh, yes. In fact, I do. I had a coworker once. He was one of my favorite coworkers I've ever worked with. His name was Ian. I love him. He used to have something in his email signature that said, "Want to leave me anonymous feedback? Click here." And I never did because I never truly believed it was anonymous. Although I did trust him. I just gave him feedback to his face because we were friends and I, you know, I didn't have anything bad to say about him, but
I'll say it to your face.
Yeah. I love you. You're amazing to work with. He was so good at OneNote. He was so inspiring. Anyways, I should reach out to him. I just thought that was so cool because it shows a sign of self-awareness when you can ask for feedback and you know that feedback is a gift and it's some of the only ways that we can really progress and improve and move forward. So love that you brought up feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great call out there. So yeah. So I think there's a few different options. It sounds like just depending on their situation, but I think hopefully some of these ideas will be helpful.
Yeah, totally. So, all right, we just went over these three questions. If you're listening or watching to this, feel free to write into me again. I love doing these because, first of all, I think it helps some of you understand that you're not alone in these tough situations. Sometimes we can only put, you know, we only see the highlight reels from people's life online and on social media, but I am in the business of people tell me when they're struggling, and I can tell you a lot of people are struggling right now. So know that you're not alone. Know that people like Erica and I are here to help and support you. And so leaving those three questions behind, I want to transition into talking more about who you help and how you help them. So let me ask you this. What do you consider a non-traditional background?
Yeah, it's a good question. So non-traditional for me, I consider myself somebody that comes from a non-traditional background. And so I typically will help people that maybe have similar backgrounds in the sense of their path isn't linear, which nobody's path is, but maybe like for me, I didn't, you know, graduate college right away, right? I took a detour and then, you know, had to go back to school while I was working full time, went into the restaurant industry, broke into tech. So it was very non-traditional in the path that I took to get to the tech industry. So sometimes I think for me, I see people and the people that reach out to me are feeling like their backgrounds because maybe they don't have enough that what they perceive as enough experience, or maybe they didn't finish school, or maybe they went back and got their degree later in life, or they've been with a company for a really long time, so they feel like they can't break into any other field. So that's kind of non-traditional in the sense of when we think about movement and career trajectory, the kind of the poster board for like career moves is like you move every few years, you know, so you go to school, you graduate college, you get into your career and field, then you move, you know, a few years or you progress within the company, but that's not everybody's story. So I help the people that are kind of like the underdog, so to speak, where they feel like they don't have, you know, that opportunity and they don't see the possibilities. I'm like, no, you do, you have your career story and I want to help you. So those are the people I help. That's a long-winded way of saying it, but I don't
know. So totally. So do you ever help people turn their stories into their strengths and help them tell like just a story of like, I've overcome a challenge in my life and I'm happy to be here? Like, do you help people do that?
Yeah, all the time. And stories, yeah, I help them see that, you know, what they perceive as a weakness or, you know, the barrier to entry, to your point, is that strength and just how you articulate the story and tell it and how we, you know, pull out those skills, because a lot of the skills that we have, you know, are transferable. We just have to know how to speak to those skills. So those are the types of conversations I have with people and help them navigate that.
That's so powerful. I know a lot of people who are going to love hearing from you and following you. And I have absolutely loved having you on my podcast today. Tell me, how can people get in touch with you?
Yep. I would say LinkedIn. I'm on there all day, every day. So Rivera-Erica is the last little part of the alias or URL. Is it URL? It's URL. Mm-hmm. Or Instagram, Career Diva Coaching. If you look me up there, you'll find me. So two places.
Nice. And then are you taking on new clients right now if people are interested in joining your program?
Yeah. So I am taking on new clients for my group program, which is really kind of a career accelerator for those that are trying to decipher their career stories, get out into the job market and make career transitions right now.
Nice. I love group programs. I feel like it's a new thing that people are doing. And sometimes it can be so helpful to be in a group of people because you get to hear stories like these three questions we just went through and you're like, oh, my situation's not that bad. Or like, oh, they're going through it too. Wow. Or like, oh, I have advice for them. And then you kind of grow a community of like, let's help each other. So I love that you're doing that. So homework for everybody is, if you found this episode useful, if you learned something, if you have thoughts on whether questions 1 through 3, if they should leave their jobs or not, please reach out to either Erica or I on LinkedIn. Tell us what you learned. Tell us what you loved about this episode and your thoughts on any of those questions. And thank you again, Erica. I will see you guys next time.
Thanks, Sally. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.